The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio, or its employees, or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. Lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. No one else will do.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father said concerning such believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life?" So if you're either of those categories and you think something pleasant's going to happen when you die, I urge you to think again, it's going to be really unpleasant. If you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yeshua, who you may incorrectly know as Jesus. To put this in context, the Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me." Today's message is the essence of my message to Christians, part 3. Overview of the program. This broadcast examines the most important elements of my message as they apply to Christians. It is stressed that there is judgment in this life for believers who sin. It is noted that the Bible is just a book and not the Word of God, and it contains error. It is pointed out that those who followed after Yeshua suffered massive persecution. It is stressed that Yeshua is the most powerful created being in the universe. It is noted that the death of Yeshua was a miracle. It is stated that true believers are believers filled with the Spirit of the Almighty, they're anointed. It is stated that hell is real and is for believers with unrepented sin. It is noted that the majority is always wrong. It is mentioned that the Bible is valuable in that it has preserved the history of greatly anointed ones. It is stressed that Christianity has blessed the planet, but is now degrading. It is mentioned that there are blessings associated with belief and curses associated with unbelief. It is stressed that virginity is set apart, in other words, incorrectly holy, and that a woman may covenant with only one man. It is noted that it is acceptable for more than one woman to covenant with one man. It's also noted that there are roughly 7 times as many women as men in the body of true believers. Finally, we examine some questions relating to your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering, and I'm a strategic management consultant. I have 27 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March, 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair, which when it ended left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me, and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis of what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, and physical books, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Facebook. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's endtimeissueministries, all one word, .org. See particularly the top line of the menu for a video about relationship and an article on the miracle of the death of Yeshua. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show on the top menu and then the drop-down menu podcasts for previous broadcasts. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Answers to questions from last week's program. Is that why so many use different names? Yes, there's a lot of confusion about the names, a lot of wrong teaching, wrong translation. The names that I've shared with you are the correct names. Two, they did not have cranes back then, so how did they lower him down on a stake? They didn't lower him down on a stake. The stake, which is a length of tree trunk, was standing in the ground, and they lifted him up. A number of soldiers lifted him up and held him against the stake while somebody drove the nails through his hands and through his feet. Not a pleasant sight. And remember that the nails were fairly thick steel bars, probably about at least 8 or so millimeters in diameter. And certainly the one story I've heard says that they were very roughly made, so they really, really hurt when they were driven through his hands and his feet. Are there pictures to depict this way of death? If you go onto the website, the article on the death of Yeshua on the top of the menu, there's a photograph on there of an artist's depiction of what it looked like. Does anyone live with no sin in their life? It is possible. There are a few people who are really strenuously trying to live without sin, and it is possible to live without sin. Question five, how can we have no sin in our lives? It takes some doing. If you apply all the principles that are on the website, if you look specifically at the Article 7 components of drawing close to the Almighty, which is towards the bottom of the main menu on the website, and put that into practice, you can come to a place where you're free of sin. Sin is primarily breaking the Ten Commandments. Are you free from sin now? As far as I know, I am, and I have been more or less continuously since 2001. I have slipped now and again. I have been judged a few times, but most of the time I've been free of sin. Question seven, how long does it take a person to be free of sin? Well, if you really go for it and put into practice what's in the document I've just mentioned, you can get free of sin within a few weeks. Why did they get into a contest? Father said he was angry with what Satan was doing, and his judgment got clouded, and when Satan provoked him, he took him up on the contest. Question nine, Why would the Almighty get into such a contest with the devil? As I just said, the Almighty got angry, he was frustrated, disappointed. That was not the way things were supposed to be, and in a moment of anger, he accepted the devil's challenge. 10. How can you focus on truth when we've been lied to by our trusted churches? Yes, that's a difficult one. The thing to realize is that very, very few people have significant truth. The churches are prospering and doing well because they're really not serving the Almighty particularly significantly. So they're no threat to the satanic and demonic realm, and therefore the satanic and demonic realm allows them to prosper. And because they are in such error, they're allowed to be good and kind and loving and all of those things, because what they're teaching is truth, and it's sending people to hell and turning people off the Almighty. Point 11, that sounds grim. I assume that relates to the way Yeshua died. Yes, really, really horrible way to die. So to get back to my message, the essence of my message to Christians, summary of the whole teaching. This article presents a headline review of most facets of my teachings as they apply first and foremost to Christians. Subsequent articles are planned for Jews, Muslims, etc. It's stressed that Jesus was a Jew and that his name could therefore not be a Greek name, which is what Jesus is. His name was Yahushua, meaning Yah is salvation, where Yah is the true name of the Almighty Creator. A number of common English translation errors in the majority of English Bibles are discussed, and from this it is evidence that there is a misunderstanding amongst most Christians of the reality that Yeshua, Jesus, not Jesus, Jesus is the wrong name, was a human being and not God in the flesh. It is noted that it is grievous sin to worship Jesus or Yeshua. We should worship the Creator alone. The history of the Bible is discussed, and it is noted that the Bible is a valuable history book, no more, and that it is not the word of God, and it is sin to worship it. It is noted that the only reason we exist is to be friends of the Creator, and if you're not living with that objective, you're missing the whole reason for your existence. A wide diversity of other topics are discussed. So, my purpose with this whole message, the essence of my message to Christians, there is a huge amount of information on the website, as I said before, about 1,000 web pages, over 1,000 articles. Very challenging for somebody who comes to the site to lift out what's really important. So, I decided to put this series of articles together so that somebody who comes to the site as a Christian can quickly get a fairly good headline review of most of the things that I think are important. I aim to do the same for Muslims, the same for Jews, same for other religions, and then the same for unbelievers as well. And then probably also for people who think the Bible's the word of God and therefore worship the Bible as inerrant and so forth. So to resume the teaching from last week, next point, there is judgment in this life for believers. I taught at length on this about a year ago, so it is on the website for the teachings and also on the main website. There's also a series of articles there. There is judgment in this life if you are a believer and you sin. If you constantly have things going wrong in your life as a believer, it is because you have sin in your life. The Almighty sits on a throne of judgment. Yeshua, our advocate, represents us, particularly if you're a young believer, and he pleads for mercy, but this only applies to immature young believers. The satanic forces act as prosecutors and bring charges against you for your sin and frequently execute the judgment. Your mighty passes judgment, and the satanic and demonic realm frequently execute that judgment. Look at the article, the web page Judgment This Life on the main menu on the website. Folks, this is really important to understand. If you are truly a believer and things are going wrong in your life, it is because you have sin in your life. It is so important to understand the plan is for you to live without sin, for me to live without sin. And if you don't live without sin, you are going to get judged. So if you're having car accidents, if you're continually breaking your cell phone, if you're continually having little things stolen from you, it's because there's sin in your life. It's that straightforward. Get on your knees and say, Father, what am I doing wrong? Where's my sin? Confess, repent, take the bread and wine, and move on. It's so simple. Yeshua died a terrible death to make it easy for you to deal with your sin. It's really irresponsible not to take him up on that. Next point, the Bible is just a book and not the Word of God, and it contains error. Regarding the Bible, it is vital to understand that it is only a book and not the Word of God or Word of Yah. It is a compendium of portions of text from diverse authors, none of whom testifies that what they've written is inspired by the Almighty or without error. Neither do the compilers of the entire Bible claim that what is assembled was inspired by the Almighty or without error. The fact is that there are discrepancies. Just a simple example relating to the death of Yehuda of Kerioth, Judas Iscariot, the man who betrayed Yeshua. See Matthew, or in other words, Matthew 27, verse 5. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and departed and went and hanged himself. Contrast that with Acts chapter 1, verse 18, which says regarding the same person, now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. Pretty dramatic stuff. The question is, which of those is true? Father says that Matthew Matthiahu is the most reliable witness in the so-called Gospels. Luke, the author of Acts, was relying on second-hand information. Matthiahu was there through the whole of Yeshua's ministry. So if in doubt, if you get a discrepancy in the so-called Gospels, then go to Matthew or go to Yohanan John. Those are the two most reliable passages. So either he cast the money into the temple or he purchased a field, and either he hanged himself or he fell headlong and his guts spilled out. Clearly, it is one or the other. There are a significant number of other discrepancies between different texts and other points that are not accurate. There are whole websites devoted to errors in the Bible, but the exact extent is not important because there's errors in those sites as well. In fact, once you realize that the Bible is not the living Word of God, or Yah, and without error, or some derivative of this mistaken Christian belief, the errors cease to be of real concern, since it is now our personal responsibility to discern the validity of what we read and research anything that is disparate. Beyond that, the core issue is to develop a deep personal relationship with your mighty Creator, such that you can ask Him directly about any area of concern. What is fundamentally true about the entire Bible is that it is an extremely valuable resource as a historical record of the interactions of humankind with the Almighty Creator up to roughly 2,000 years ago. It also contains about 2.5% inspired text, as indicated to the author by the Almighty, but it does contain error. So read the Bible as a useful history book about people who were close to Father or in some form of relationship with Father, and you work on getting your own relationship with Father right so that you can be guided by him. Remember also that most of the New Testament was written in Hebrew and translated to Greek by unknown people and repeatedly transcribed by unknown people, with no guarantee of the accuracy of the translations or the transcriptions, and no guarantee that someone along the way did not embellish or change words or verses to reflect their personal prejudices. It is useful to read the Bible a few times in a few translations, of which the King James Version or the New King James Version, the Amplified Bible from Zondervan, and the Scriptures from the Institute of Scripture Research are worth reading once each. All of these are available on Amazon. The Jewish Living Torah by Rabbi Ariah Kaplan and the Living Nacht, also Jewish, are also worth reading once. Beyond that, there are a huge number of books relating to belief in the Almighty from diverse authors and sources, many of them spirit-filled to a greater or lesser extent, that are worth reading. Although all books, as with all other information, are to be read and received with caution. A deep relationship with the Almighty is critical. What is true about Christianity is that there's a huge amount of practical literature relating to diverse facets of relationship with the Almighty that is worth scanning and reading selected books or sections of books as led by the Spirit of the Almighty once you've formed a relationship with Him. See the books listed on the website under the Important Information menu item. For more information on the Bible and what it is and what it is not, see the pages, the Bible and the Child pages on the website. Yeshua is the most powerful created being in the universe. Because of the way he lived without sin and then died, Yeshua became the most powerful being in the universe apart from Yah. The spirit that became Yeshua was the first spirit being the Almighty created early on in creation and was Yah's executive assistant and chief operating officer throughout the creative process until he came to earth, at which point, as stated above, he became 100% human. He could not have performed his mission if he was not 100% human, and he would not hold the high status that he holds today were he not 100% human. For more information, see the Yahushua page and the Child pages on the website menu. The creative miracle of Yeshua in Miriam was less of a miracle than the creation of Adam and the creation of Chava, Eve. The creative miracle in the fallopian tubes of Miriam, incorrectly called Mary, that gave rise to the human being we know as Yeshua, incorrectly called Jesus, was less of a miracle than the creation of Adam and the creation of Chava, incorrectly called Eve. Yeshua is therefore 100% human with no inherited bloodline curses. Deifying Yeshua because of his virgin birth misses the point. Yah did not have sex with Miriam. He performed a creative miracle with her ovum that was less miraculous than creating Adam from the dust of the earth and Chava from Adam's rib. There is therefore no reason to worship Jesus or Yeshua. Folks, this is so important. Adam, mankind, human beings, were created from nothing. Chava, Eve, was created from Adam's rib. Yeshua was simply created from the ovum in Miriam's fallopian tubes without the seed of a man. Not nearly as big a miracle as the other two creations. Note that the death of Yeshua was a miracle the way it happened. The death of Yeshua involved a series of inspired prophetic acts. Refer the miracle of Yeshua Jesus' death on the website to the top line of the menu for a detailed discussion of the miracle of Yeshua's death. A cave was excavated in rock beneath this cliff face that became known as Golgotha, the place of the skull, because it looked like a skull. This excavation took place hundreds of years before Yahushua died. At the time of the Babylonian invasion of Yehuda, incorrectly called Judea, Yirmiyahu, incorrectly called Jeremiah, removed the Ark of the Covenant from the temple and hid it in a cave. At some stage, the Romans or earlier people established an execution site directly above that cave. Folks, think about it. Somebody goes and cuts a cavern in the solid rock directly under that cliff face. Then somebody comes and erects an execution site in front of the cliff face directly over the cavern. Then Jeremiah takes the Ark of the Covenant from the temple and puts it in that specific cave, when there's a whole warren of caves underneath Jerusalem. Then remember the Yehohanan, John the Immerser, incorrectly called Baptist, proclaimed Yeshua, the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. At the time Yeshua was executed, a fourth stake hole was excavated above the three existing holes, putting it directly above the Ark of the Covenant. Nobody knew the Ark of the Covenant was there. It was only discovered about 25 years ago. But they put that stake hole there specifically for Yeshua, so he died directly above the Ark of the Covenant. Then Pontius Pilate, the Roman emperor, proclaimed Yeshua king of the Jews. The high priest laid hands on Yeshua and proclaimed him Messiah, which meant by implication he became high priest. The people declared his blood on themselves and their children, thereby proclaiming him the offering for atonement of sin. Yeshua declared the bread and wine to represent his body and blood, and thereby ushered in the new covenant when he died. When Yeshua died, an earthquake split the rock beneath the stake hole. Note that that's S-T-A-K-E, not S-T-E-A-K, stake hole, and caused a crack to form from the stake hole to the mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant in the cave below. Remember, nobody knew the Ark was there. A soldier then pierced Yeshua's side, and blood and water ran out down the crack onto the mercy seat. By his sinless blood running onto the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant, hidden in the cave below the execution site, Yeshua became the new high priest, the atoning sacrifice for sin, and ushered in the new covenant. See the webpage Miracle of Yeshua, Jesus' Death, at the top of the menu on the website. Folks, it's so important to see the absolute precision, coordination of how this whole thing was put together in order for us to have a new high priest, a new atoning sacrifice for sin, and a new covenant. So powerful, so important. All of this was a series of carefully orchestrated interventions by the Almighty to ensure that Yeshua accomplished his mission. The planning for this started over 1,000 years before with Moses, incorrectly called Moses, in the wilderness, and ran right up to the minute that Yahushua died and was pierced and the blood fell on the mercy seat. It's vital to understand that this was Yah and Yeshua's plan from the beginning, that Yahushua knew what he was coming for and he had to die exactly that way. So we see that Yahushua had to be 100% human and had to die exactly that way in order to establish a new priesthood, a new covenant, and a new offering for forgiveness of sin. Without all of this, we would have a serious problem. Sadly, Christianity does not understand most of the above. It's so important. There are groups of Christians who hate the Jews because they say the Jews killed their God, Yeshua. Yeshua was a Jew. He came for the Jews. He had to die that way in order for there to be an atoning sacrifice, in order for us to be able to get free of sin. So if you're one of these people who hates the Jews because of what they did to Yeshua, please don't. It was all planned and ordained by Father in order to set the Jews free. The tragedy is because of the bad behavior of the Christians, the Jews don't mostly know about Yeshua. And for that matter, the Muslims don't mostly know about Yeshua in the correct way either. So sad. So many people who are having long terms in hell because of this error. True believers are filled with the Spirit of the Almighty. In other words, they're anointed. Anyone who is a true believer and has asked for infilling is filled at some level with the Spirit of the Almighty. The majority of such people are Christians, although there are also some Jews and some Muslims who are so filled, simply because only the Christians really know about it. One of the problems of Christianity is that because of the confusion regarding Jesus, there are many Jesus worshippers who also have some measure of infilling with the set-apart Spirit of the Almighty, and they then attribute the workings of the Almighty in their lives to Jesus. This is an abomination in the sight of the Creator, and these people will end up as adulterous wives in heaven. A person who is so anointed or filled with the Spirit of the Almighty lives life in a different space and a different mode. See the Anointed Life pages on the website. Folks, this is so important. If you at some level believe and you've never prayed, Father, fill me with your Spirit, if you've never sung songs like that, I urge you to do that. You can do it right now. Father, in the name of Yeshua, I ask you to come and live in me. I ask you to pour out your Spirit upon me. Fill me with your Spirit, Father. Help me to draw closer to you. Amen. It's that simple. No reason not to do it. And it's a reality that anointed people are different to the rest of the planet. As you become aware of being filled with Father, as you come into relationship with Him, your thoughts change, your priorities change, your morals change, your ethics change. You become different. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Next point, hell is real and is for believers with unrepented sin. Hell is a real place, as are the torments that occur there. And it is reserved for those who believe but disdain Yeshua's sacrifice and die with unrepented sin. See the Hell page on the website for graphic images painted by someone who's been there and graphic accounts by others who have been there. If you die as a Christian and have not dealt with all the sins outlined above and other sins associated with general Christian belief, you will spend considerable time in hell before you are admitted to heaven, if you are admitted at all. There is a great falling away in the present generation. The number of true believers is reducing constantly as the old generation die out and the younger generation, for the most part, do not believe. See the page Great Falling Away on the website. Sunday is pagan. Saturday is the true weekly Sabbath. Sunday is a pagan, that is, satanic Sabbath. The true weekly Sabbath is Saturday, from sunrise Saturday to sunrise Sunday. See Sunday Pagan on the website. Folks, there's a long list of Christian errors on the website. I'm summarizing the headlines here of the things that are most important to be aware of. And please be aware that as a believer, if you die with sin, you will go to hell to pay the price for that unrepented, unconfessed sin. So rather deal with it now, live without sin, and then when you die, you will go straight to heaven. You don't want to go to hell for days, weeks, months, years, decades, because you didn't take advantage of Yeshua's offering. An important principle, the majority is always wrong. One of the realities in the spirit and religious realm is that the majority are always in error. Yah's truths are preserved by a small minority. This is a huge snap, this huge trap that has ensnared a huge number of people. see the page, the majority is always wrong on the website. Folks, the worst thing you can do in order to make decisions about the matters of the Almighty is to look at what the majority are doing. If the majority are doing it, it's wrong. If the Bible is the most popular book on the, is if there are more Bibles on the planet than any other book, there's something wrong with the Bible. Satan would not allow that if it were not so. Satan would not allow the churches to prosper if the churches were not in so much error that they're not a threat to him. The same goes for the fundamentals of most Christian teaching, most Muslim teaching, most Judaic teaching, and all the other religions. The mainstream stuff is in error, because if it were not error, the satanic realm would do something about it until it was error. So important to understand this. The Bible is valuable in that it has preserved the history of greatly anointed ones. The Bible is valuable because it has preserved the history of many greatly anointed ones and the history of people who served and failed to serve the Almighty for a period of primarily about 2,000 years. It also contains some inspired text, about 2.5%. But as stated above, it is just a book written and transcribed and translated by, for the most part, unknown parties with various levels of anointing and various levels of accuracy. By worshipping the Bible as the Word of God, Christians have devalued the Bible and given it false status as a substitute for relationship with the Almighty, to the extent that today the Almighty says the Bible is the greatest idol on earth today and he hates it. That said, Christianity has blessed the planet, but is now degrading again. Modern Christianity, as experienced from the time of Martin Luther, has restored certain levels of truth about the Almighty and has returned many to some level of relationship with the Almighty Creator, Yah, the eternally self-existing. The current levels of global prosperity are a direct consequence of millions of people serving the Almighty through Christianity at some level. However, in recent years, the vast majority have fallen away. Believing parents have failed to facilitate their children to become believers, with the result that today there are very few true believers on earth. Decisions to take the Bible and prayer out of schools, etc., have accelerated this degradation. Today, the vast majority of people are unbelievers who believe that what they have today is a consequence of their own ability without the Almighty, when in fact it is the consequence of the blessings of the Almighty passed down through multiple generations. Folks, this is so important. If you have been, if your family has been serving the Almighty for generations, it is highly likely that you're prospering. And if you've been serving demons for generations, it's highly likely that you're not prospering. The blessings of belief and the curses of unbelief. Those who do have true belief are blessed at some level with regard to healing, wisdom, protection, provision, favor, etc. But all of these require some measure of living above sin. Christianity has in large measure walked in this, but as noted above, this is slipping away, and a few hundred years without a massive revival and renaissance, we will slip again into barbarism and satanic and demonic ways. Those who are not filled with the Spirit of the Almighty will be led by the demonic and not by the Almighty. So important to understand this, folks. If you come from a privileged, wealthy, or reasonably comfortably off background of generations of people who've been serving the Almighty at some material level, if your children or yourself don't have a relationship with Father And if your grandchildren don't have a relationship with Father, and your great-grandchildren, they will slip away, they will come under the curse. And eventually, in 5-10 generations from now, they will be completely reprobate and engaging in all sorts of horrible stuff. And their wealth will be slipping away. That's what's happened. You need to understand that's what's happened with Rome. It's what happened with Athens. It's what happened with Jerusalem. It's what happened with Egypt. They started out with relationships with Father. They prospered, and then they slipped away, and they lost everything. On a slightly different tack, virginity is set apart, incorrectly represented as holy. A woman may covenant with only one man. Women are born with the seal of virginity, the hymen. Therefore, they may only covenant, in other words, have intercourse with one man unless they are widows or truly divorced. Adultery is sex with a woman who is one with another man. Men may covenant with, cover, protect, and provide for more than one woman. There are many errors and teachings with regard to the relationship of men and women today. Note that this does not prevent women from being powerful leaders. See the sub-pages under men and women on the main menu of the website, particularly men and women and covenant, the Virgin's Covenant. It is acceptable for more than one woman to covenant with one man. In light of the seal of virginity, it is acceptable and was in fact the design intention of the Almighty for a number of women to covenant with one man. However, in modern society, most women cannot handle sharing, so this form of marriage is mostly impractical. This does not alter the fact that it is powerful and pleasing to the Almighty. See the scriptural definition of marriage on the website. Just use the Google search to find scriptural definition of marriage. Folks, very controversial point. Very difficult to do in practice. I don't recommend it. I've tried it. But it's permissible. And the thing to realize is if, as a man, you've taken the virginity of more than one woman, you're responsible for more than one woman. In closing, 7 times as many women as men in high places in heaven. There are 7 times more women than men in the body of true believers and in high places of heaven. See single woman believers, 7 times men on the website. Folks, if you're a man with some attitude towards women, I really encourage you to rethink that. On Earth today, there are roughly 7 times more women than men in the body of true believers. So if you're a man and you think you're a believer, you might want to check that one out. And you need to recognize that when you get to heaven, you're going to find a lot more women there than men. So if you've got an attitude towards women, I suggest you deal with it now, because it's really not going to serve you in your relationship with Father. It's a big thing. Women are more spiritually sensitive. They're more in tune with Father. They're more committed. They try harder. Men do their own thing and they worship their soccer club or their rugby club or their cricket club or their whatever. It's a sobering thought, folks. If you're a man, you need to think this one through. If you want to get to heaven as a man, you're going to have to work at it. You're going to have to really deal with your stuff, deal with your issues, deal with your sin. Really commit yourself. And that probably means that you're going to have to stop the rugby club or the golf club or whatever to a significant extent. So in closing, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator right now. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and will be bitterly disappointed when you die. Folks, just a key point. Yah is friendly. He wants to be your friend, and he quite possibly is your friend if you're at some level of relationship with him. That does not mean that you are his friend. To be his friend, you need to see things his way. You need to stop looking at things through human eyes. You need to stop worrying about the people. I was talking to somebody yesterday, I think it was, and I made the comment that Father really, you're going to shock you, but he hates the unbelievers. They had their chance to believe in him. There's evidence everywhere. They're a nuisance. He doesn't want them all to be saved. If he had his way, he'd throw them all into the lake of fire and get rid of them. You need to see things his way. He's looking for a select group of people who will really get close to him. And if that mushrooms out and spreads out across the world until everybody is a friend, he will be overjoyed. But right now, he's interested in the few people who sort of believe, who are at risk of falling away. And if you're one of those people, I encourage you to step up to the mark now. So wrapping up, key documents and a video on the main menu web pages. There's a video at the top of the menu, Why Seek Relationship, Most Important. This is the most important message I've ever created. I encourage you to watch that video. Then a number of important web pages, the miracle of Yeshua's death, also at the top of the menu. The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. Seven components in drawing close to the Creator. Absolutely critical if you want to get close. Recommended worship. The Creator's name is Yah, the eternally self-existing. You need to understand how his name permeates the Bible. Where will you spend eternity? What is required in order to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity? All of those available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in the series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio pages. And recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page. And they're all available at www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show on the top menu and then the drop-down podcast. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page and are physically available. I publish regular email articles. Email james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or to give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. The Google search is particularly useful and particularly powerful. Search the whole website using the full power of the Google search engine. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I'll answer them next broadcast. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make the way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium, about 3003. And make his enemies his footstool. I want to stress, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter your age, your gender, your wealth or lack of it, your education or lack of it, your race, your religion, short or tall, black or white, yellow, whatever. It doesn't matter. He will meet you where you are. He wants a deep personal relationship with you, the person I'm talking to right now. I urge you to step up to the mark and go for it. I urge you to get on your knees right now and say, Father, I want to become your friend. Help me to become your friend. And then email me and I will help you. We'll get on Zoom. I'll talk you through it. Read the articles that I've referred to and you can get there. I really encourage you to do it. Thank you so much and good night. Father, I